Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and if you are a lover of animals, if you have a fascination with horses, you are absolutely going to be delighted with my guest today, Kathy Candela Reynolds, and her book is titled Woga, and it has the most gorgeous photograph of Kathy and this magnificent horse, who will find out the horse's name. Kathy, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
I was really impressed with not only your background, but also with the quality of the material that you put together on this wonderful subject about yoga and horses and how you have integrated the disciplines for both animal as well as person. So I want my audience to know about you. You have been involved with horses ever since you've been knee-high to a grass blade.
Yes.
You began your riding career at the age of 9.
Yes.
You rode saddle seat on a park, a high-stepping saddle horse, Morgan's, which I think are some of the most magnificent horses around.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a teenager, you ended up working as a student, and you rode hunter jumpers and dressage horses, occasionally competing.
Yes.
And then you usually would train what you called the green horses, the horses that needed to be gentled and disciplined. And then you began teaching people. Now, you served in apprenticeship training to thoroughbred racehorses,
yes.
And you worked very closely with a special person, Gensie Buckland.
Yes.
You have 2 children of your own. You've
yes.
been very much involved in therapeutic riding. You've been double certified by the North American Riding for the Handicapped Association
yes.
for regular and advanced disabilities, which I think is an incredible accomplishment. You also are certified as a yoga instructor by AFIA. You live in Vermont, and you also have dogs, cats, not just your kids. You got a husband. You've got a full life, Kathy.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this book has not only magnificent photos of animals and different actions and activities that they go through, but I love some of the stories that you had in here. And Elena Collins
yes.
was the woman that wrote a very special introduction for your book. Tell us about Elena, because this is a woman that had a physical disability of her own.
And to start off with, she is 14 years old.
She's 14 years old?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
She's an old soul. A couple of years ago, I was up at the cafe in the village in Rochester, Vermont, and her mom and her were there. She was a little shop there. And my horse, Shenanigans, who's on the back cover and in the book, had recently foundered, which is a very serious disability of the hoof and disease of the hoof. And so he was recovering, and I was looking for horses to ride. And they had 5 horses up there. And we got talking, and they invited me up, and I started teaching Elena, and I had been experimenting a little bit with the yoga and working it into some lessons, and we started, you know, riding different horses with it because they had 5 horses, and we noticed a big change in the way the horses were moving. And Elena was a big inspiration for me because of her disabilities. She's a difficult student. It's hard for her to really achieve a lot of the poses, but the even with her stiffness in her joints and her arthritis and her issues, she had vast improvements with some of the exercises that we were doing. And the first thing she did was went out and entered a show and won all of the bareback classes.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Now, I want to stop you for just a minute.
Yes.
Because you have mentioned her disabilities. Now, was part of this, like arthritis? What was it that was handicapping this very, very bright, intelligent child, young woman, I should call her. She's not a child.
She has a childhood form of rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm-mm.
So she has a lot of joint pain and stiffness, and, you know, it affects her gait and things like that, and her strength. But when she rides, she can keep up with anybody. She's just as fast or faster. She's stronger. She can jump, and she can go for longer. So she'd rather ride than walk.
Well, I can understand that. She mentioned in her introduction that she had been put on a series of different pain and inflammation medicines. She
mm-hmm.
takes pills every day, injections 3 times a week.
Yes.
But what has really helped her has been her horse, Lyrical, which
right.
I think is a fascinating name to give a horse. And
yes.
the photo of this young woman on this horse, they're like one.
Oh, yes, and that was exactly why I said we have to go get some pictures of Elena, because she has such a bond with Lyrical. And Lyrical is a Cheval Canadien, which I think is popular in your area there, because you're pretty close to Canada, right, in Washington?
Yes.
So there's it's the official horse of Canada, and they're very well-mannered, and they're very intelligent horses. And he is only 5 years old, which is very young for a young rider to be on. And he is very sound-minded for her.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing how animals and people will bond? And horses are exceptionally intelligent. I get so irritated when I hear people say, oh, horses aren't that smart. They really are. They are very intelligent creatures, and they are so good at working with children that are handicapped. It's amazing how they will respond and know what to do. Therapy with horses is really quite significant, isn't it?
You know, we can all learn a lot from our relationships in general, but our relationships with horses have some standards that aren't as rigid with people. You know, they demand discipline. They practice cooperation and trust and loyalty and love and give, you know, unconditional love that we don't get from other relationships. And that, combined with the nonverbal, the body language, the strong communication with body language, and their natural beauty, of course. We're just, I think that all of us who ride feel those kind of benefits that people feel who are riding for therapeutic reasons.
Well, I agree. Now, tell us about your riding instructor, Gincy Bucklin.
Gincy, Virginia Bucklin, trained in Connecticut for years, and when I and my husband and family were in Rhode Island, I met her. She was one of the top instructors in the country and certified by the American Riding Instructor Certification Program, and her work was based on centered riding, which is actually another Vermont author, Sally Swift. And that type of riding changed a lot of the way we look at the way the rider should be. We went basically from a forward seat where we were forward to jump and forward to race to a more balanced seat where we were doing more flat work and dressage work and balanced work. Dressage is more of a ballet with a horse. It's much more graceful. We're not just, you know, bolting down the road trying to get ahead of the pack.
Right.
We're trying to make some nice balanced moves, and it actually came from cavalry originally, where they were, you know, doing sideways moves and dodging and, you know, whatever. But it's evolved to be a real connection between horse and rider, so that when we ride in a balanced frame, we connect physically and mentally with the horse. And Zinzi's program was called Riding Without Fear. And one of the big things I learned from her was when we are in, when we become mothers, we really gain this sense of mortality that changes the way we do things. And especially dangerous sports like riding and skiing. So a lot of our students were overcoming fear from accidents or from things that had happened. But also, we had a lot of students who came after motherhood and had gotten back into the saddle and said, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I used to do this when I was young, and all of a sudden I'm no good at this. And it's you know, it's internal. It's our basic instinct of protecting ourselves. And what happens when we protect ourselves is often contrary to what we want to do to balance ourselves in the saddle. We tend to ball up in a fetal position, and to balance we need to be open. So there was a lot of retraining that went on with riders in her program.
That's fascinating that there was that wisdom as a woman that she recognized was needed by women after they had had children. It's an entirely different perspective than I think any woman would really have given any thought to. How empowering that would be, so that you wouldn't feel like you had to put everything into a cocoon around you, because that is a very strong feeling when you've given birth. Very strong feeling when you've given birth. It's that, call it the maternal instinct, that you've got to make sure that everything is encapsulated. And my goodness, if you look at the history of mankind, when a woman is pregnant, she fights so hard anyway to carry a child. It's a lot of hard work, contrary to some people's opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And then birthing is not a piece of cake, except for a few. And then afterwards, it's this overwhelming sense of responsibility. Where do I go from here? And the fear of mortality, like you said, because so frequently children die. We have more children living today than ever before in history. So all of this feeling that you have, how liberating that would be.
And to recognize it, I think, was a new thing. And I also think that I see a lot of women who, just like myself, you know, I've raised the kids, and my kids are a little bit older now, but that feeling doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to retrain. And a lot of my students are people who are getting back in the saddle. And, of course, the book is, it really, I think, gets into the nitty-gritty. Anybody that's been studying riding for a long time will recognize the instruction in the book. But it's brought up a notch to really detailing where the bones go, but at the same time, and the structure goes, and the legs, and, you know, exactly where the energy goes in the rider to get the best effect and to have the best balance. But at the same time, it says it in layman's terms. It's yoga. So anyone who, you know, is a little familiar with yoga will recognize it. But most of my students are riders who have never done yoga before, and I am really proud to introduce yoga to them because it helps in so many ways in our lives. But it also makes riding much safer to understand the principles of the horse and human mechanics and how they work.
Well, I think there's so much discipline, understanding of certain disciplines when you are involved with horses, when you are involved with doing yoga. And I think the disciplines harmonize very, very nicely. And I think that animals, horses especially, are very, very sensitive to people's emotions.
Yes.
And they will respond so fast, it's not even funny. Of course, I've seen this happen with other animals too.
Yes.
With the horses, though, because they are so large, typically,
yes,
that you have to be aware of that. And if they sense any agitation, that's why whenever anybody's doing dressage or any of these other activities, they really have to hang loose a little bit, because the animal will respond accordingly. It'll read everything that their body is telling them.
Oh, yeah, and you know, that's a big part of what we do in the yoga studio, is learn how to relax our bodies, but keep them supported and keep that static support with distractions. So in the studio, the distraction might be that we're going to lift our arms to the ceiling or, you know, maybe grab our hands behind our back or something like that. But in the saddle, the distraction is, they're just compounded. There are just so many. You know, you have the horse, you have the direction you're going, you have obstacles in the ring, and a lot of things to think about. If we can teach our bodies what to do, and in order to train muscle, muscle memory takes a lot of repetitions. In fact, 300 to 500 repetitions to train muscle memory. So there's a lot of practice that can go on. But if we can train our bodies to do what they need to do and to stay balanced and to stay stabilized up there and not get wiggled around, we've solved half the problem. Now we're connected to the horse, and then we have to learn all of the other things, how to deal with all the distractions and, you know, more about how and practice how the horse moves underneath us.
Now, with yoga, yoga is a discipline in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something that just about anyone of any age can do.
Mm-hmm.
And dependent on when you start in life, you may be able to do some of the more difficult moves.
Mm-hmm.
Because it involves a supplement. But yoga in and of itself has, in my mind view, a compound benefit. One, it gives suppleness. Two, it demands concentration, which allows for relaxation.
Yes.
And I think that when you can combine that and you can work that along with working with the horses, as you have described in your book, WOGA, WHOA-GA, I really think, Kathy, that this is good. And for those of you who are just tuning in, if you love horses, there's actually quite a bit of wisdom in here just for everyday life relating to yoga. And it could even relate to some other animals, too, to a degree. But this especially is relating to equestrian involvement. And I think that, Kathy, you along with a few other people are recognizing that a lot of the old things that have been promoted for generations regarding horses,
mm-hmm.
not all of them, but a lot of them, are out of date.
Mm-hmm.
They were perpetuated in ignorance, and now there is this understanding that you don't have to have a certain patterning. And I think that this is something that is coming full circle, which is very, very good. It's going to make it better for the animals and better for the riders.
Yeah.
You know, you have the stories like of Christopher Reeves, who had the horrific accident that left him paralyzed.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen
yeah.
all that frequently, but when it does, it really is traumatic. And a lot of people say, gee, I don't ever want to do anything like that.
Yeah.
But my goodness, you can run over by a car stepping off a curb, for heaven's sakes.
Right, right, right. But we do have to address the issue of safety in our sport. And much of what we are working with for equipment was designed for racing and for jumping and very forward movements. In fact, it's called the forward seat. And it is, it puts the horse's center of gravity very far forward so that he can race faster and jump higher. The fact is, most of us who are riding today are not out there trying to win races or jump higher.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us are riding for the pleasure. We have horses for the relationship, for the experience, for the service to animals. You know, we get a lot of spiritual tools, even from the discipline, the routine, the understanding of the emotions, like you said earlier, practicing cooperation, trust, loyalty, and understanding that horses are sentient beings who are trying to help us and appreciate them. I learned a rule in my parenting class that said, never say anything to a child that you wouldn't say to a peer that you respect. And I have the same rule for horses. I think that they understand your emotions so keenly that when you walk in their stall with good intentions and you're respectful, that they return that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that that's very true. Now, you talk about riding and about sitting on a horse.
Yes.
And how with yoga, with the understanding of yoga and working with this, you don't end up having a sore tush when you're on a horse.
Yes.
Most of the time, there's so many comedies that have been done on this. You know, the greenhorn getting up on the horse and walking bow-legged, and the back is killing them, and the horse's back is killing it, and everybody's suffering in pain because they didn't know how to ride. Now, you bring out some pretty important points with this, because you say how you sit enables a horse to relax and allow them to move naturally so they don't end up with a sore back. And a sore back is a major veterinarian concern.
90% of our horses have sore backs, of our riding horses that are tested. When you feel that pain from riding, that's from your seat bone or the top of your femur. Okay, when you sit, and if riders or if listeners want to, just sit on your hand and you put your palm on your tush and you can feel that bone in there. It's right about center of your cheek when you're sitting on the bottom. And you can feel that bone, and that's what hurts. That pressing against the tissue of your skin and your muscle is what you feel when you have been riding and sitting on that seat bone. But if you change the angle of the pelvis, if you touch the pelvis just a little bit and bring it forward, that bone goes up into your hip more. It straightens out a little bit more, and it doesn't dig in. It doesn't push against your tissue so much. It also doesn't push against the horse. And what happens when that bone is, that knob, that seat bone, is pushing into the dorsal muscle of the horse, it's just like me giving you a Charlie horse. If I poke you, you're going to arch your back, and you're going to push away, you're going to pull away from the poke. But if you stiffen up and I poke you, then you can stay there, right? If I poke your stomach and you just harden it up, you can bear that poking. So that's what the horse does when we're poking him with our seat bones, is he hardens up his dorsal muscles. And when that happens, they contract, which shortens his back, and the head comes up, and he hollows out, and we get an excitable, uncomfortable horse that can't engage his muscles and his hindquarters and his stomach muscles to really carry us properly and do what he wants. And we see a lot of sore spines and eventually swayed backs from that type of riding.
You talk about working with a yoga ball. And tell us what a yoga ball does, how can it be used, why is it a benefit to someone, and how does it help in working with a horse?
Well, we start with a big yoga ball. It's a 65-centimeter yoga ball. And it's because we're simulating the horse's barrel with the yoga ball, we use a very firm, extra firm yoga ball, because the horse has, you know, ribs in there, and we want to simulate that. We don't want anything that will squish right down. But using that type of ball gives us the same feedback that we get on the horse. That size ball is about the size of a good barreled 15-hand horse. And you can adjust the size by inflating it or deflating it a little bit more. If you're shorter or taller, you're not quite as stretchy, you want it a little bit lower. But what that does is gives us the feedback on our adductors, on our seat bones, in our pelvis, all those places where we contact the horse, and helps those stretch. And we can do exercises and feel the body awareness, what happens to our feet when we shift our body the way we would to turn a horse. To encourage a horse to go to the right, for instance, we would shift our body left just a little bit, help him ground his outside rear leg, and push off, because that's what he has to do. So we can learn those types of moves in the studio on the yoga ball and understand and predict what our body is going to do and train our body to stay stable while we're making those moves. And it's a really big help. When we get on the horse, we've done half the work. I use the yoga ball. I sit on it in my office. I replaced my chair with the yoga ball a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, it's great. You can raise and lower it a little bit so that your ergonomics are correct and you can reach your desk. And you can get a couple of hours of stretching in sitting at your desk. So it's like writing for a couple of hours a day, and I've actually gotten all my work done.
Oh, but you're not having so much fun.
Not quite as much fun, but more fun when I do get out there.
Oh, yes, I can imagine. My guest today is Kathy Reynolds. Her wonderful book is Woga, and it is eight-limbed yoga for horse rider harmony. But, Kathy, the photos in here on the exercises that can be done, how to use the yoga ball, you have wonderful information on horses themselves. I love all of the knowledge that you've got. In fact, you talk about how everything the horse needs to know he learned from his mother by the time he was weaned.
Yes.
And all of these things make for such interesting reading. It gives a tremendously different perspective. And I know many of my listeners maybe don't have an opportunity to go out and do horseback riding, but if there is an opportunity to do it, it's something that this kind of a book would give a whole different perspective to. But the exercises in it are really, really marvelous. And with this that you're doing, although you have made it more, let's say, for an equestrian, I find that it's so beautifully done. You've got so much wonderful information in here. And just knowing about this, I think this would be great for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then also because you work with a handicap,
mm-hmm.
What is your website? Because I know for a fact, I've interviewed other people who have been involved in equestrian activities with children with disabilities,
mm-hmm.
and it has just transformed their lives. So what's your website so people can go to see you?
My website is www.woga.com, and it's WHOAG.com.
And then the programs that you offer for children with disabilities, are they done at your own facility in Vermont?
Some are. The programs that I'm offering right now are for able-bodied. It's because we've just been doing the programs for a couple of years. I really want to work it into therapeutic riding programs. That's definitely a goal. I think that horses are such a great incentive for therapy. For children and adults, and yoga is so great for therapy that I think the horses might inspire and incent some of the riders to practice yoga, and yoga is being used for therapy a lot more, and riding is being used,
mm-hmm.
so that they join as a therapy team is very important, but I want to be careful working with and starting. And you know, I've been careful to do it right,
mm-hmm.
not to rush into the therapy because it's an area where it can do a lot of good. It's something that I'm definitely looking forward to doing.
Well, I think of the Lipizzan stallions that are always so appreciated for their beauty and for their magnificent movements and the training that they go through and the years of love and dedication that their trainers give to them, and they in return
mm-hmm.
acknowledge them by being just as magnificent as they are. When you were describing what you were at the beginning of the interview, it brought them to mind. And I think of the thousands of people who have had such a phenomenal love for horses. No longer are they engaged in war as part of the cavalry,
mm-hmm.
but today, they are loved and they are enjoyed by people like yourself, and their place in life is expanding in a most wonderful way. Kathy Reynolds has been my guest today. Her wonderful book, Woga, W-H-O-G-A, is the title of the book, magnificently illustrated. If you love horses, if you'd like to know more about them, if you'd like to know more about yoga, this is a book that is a must read. Kathy, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you so much for having me, Donna.
It has been delightful. We're taking a break now. Don't you go away. We're going to be back in just a moment. Donna Sebo here.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. Phone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz here, are the telephone numbers to call in to if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227 here in the U.S. That's 877-876-5227. Now, if you want to call in from Canada, our toll-free number is 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And also we have a direct line of 520-876-3222. Now, quickly, I want to just mention, for those of you in the state of Washington, I am going to be appearing at the Northwest Women's Show on the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th of March. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I hope you'll stop by my booth, which is 406. We would be delighted to have the opportunity to say hello to you. And I will be doing many consultations. Also, I've got books that I'm having to clear out of my library from authors that I featured on the shows, etc. And I invite you to come by because they're going to be available there. And I will be doing a presentation every day, a half-hour program for anybody, and they're all free, so just come on out. We'd love to see you. And in New York, I'll be in New York on the 30th and the 31st of this month. I've got a special appearance with the National Publicity Summit. I'll be there, and I've been invited again, which is always exciting because I meet so many wonderful people from all over the country, 100 individuals typically, and they come because they have books that they are putting together, and it's really quite an exciting event. So I've been invited. This is my going on my fourth year, I believe. I've been invited back to be part of their panel. So, anyway, we are ready to go. Let's take our first caller. Hello, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Jay from Houston, Texas.
Jay from Houston, Texas. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right, now, Jay, what I'm looking at with you is some confusion. I think you're on a bit of overwhelm, and I look at it, and I feel like there's just a great big sigh inside of me. And I just go, doesn't it ever end? I'm so weary of this repetitive patterning in my life. And as I'm observing you, I think what's going on is that you have gotten yourself locked into certain patterns. for you to be able to change those patterns to create some new results in your life, you must be consciously present with where you are and what it is you want to change. Because I'm seeing certain persons, certain conditions that are going to just want to repeat the same patterning again and again, and it's like you have to use a word, and that word is no, I'm going to do something differently, and I'm going to go a different route. And that's how you're going to get up and out of what you feel is this repetition over and over again. Also, I think you're a very sensitive person. I think you're an individual that has had so many things in your life that have just literally knocked the emotional breath out of you. But I'm seeing you, little by little, this year, piecing together the bits and parts of yourself that you feel have really needed healing. And I think it's coming together. This is a year that might feel like it's moving in slow motion, but it's to your advantage that it feels this way. Take care of the little things that you need to bring into positioning and into place. If you do that, you'll come out ahead. If you try to push, shove, make things happen too quickly, you're going to find yourself again in a repetitive cycle you don't need to go through. But you must stay present with your thinking. You must pay attention to what you're doing, what you're processing, and the actions that you are wanting to have bring the right result. You must be consciously present with it. You cannot go by somebody else's edicts. You must pay attention to what needs to be done. Do that, and this year, though it's going to be a demanding year, will be a year that will bring you a lot of blessings that you would otherwise not expect, more towards the third and fourth quarter of the year. What question would you have for me today?
Yeah, I'm trying to get a new job. Am I going to get it? Or?
What kind of work are you looking for, Jay?
Warehouse. Well, I work in a warehouse now, but I'm going up for another job. I'm wondering.
Now, did you want to stay in that particular line of work?
All I'm trying to do is be successful. I mean, if I have to change careers, then I will.
All right. Well, I still want you to answer my question. Do you still want to stay in the warehouse work? If you could do what you'd want to do, what would you do?
I guess warehouse. I've been working in it so long.
All right, but I want you to answer my question. Yeah. I want you to tell me, if you could do anything you wanted to do, if you didn't have to worry about money or anything else, what would you like to be involved with?
Sports. Something in sports, reporting sports or something like that. I love sports.
All right, you love sports. What kind of sports do you really love? Football, baseball, basketball, what?
All of it.
All right. I would say if you love all of it, that's still not narrowing it down.
Basketball.
All right. If basketball was your favorite, let's just use that as an example. You may not become a major star in basketball, but there's many other ways that you could become involved within that sport industry. And you could look at being, perhaps trying to get a job within the sports manufacturing of certain products.
That could work.
That is something that would bring you in line with it. You also could look at checking out some of your colleges for training and find out what it would take to become a coach.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at what really makes you feel good, in other words, when you would have the thought of maybe having to get up every day and go and talk to somebody about basketballs and why they should buy it from a certain company. And you'd go, yeah, I could do that. That's what I would love to do because I just love the sport. Then you're making a shift and a change. When you said to me, this is what I've known is just the warehouse and I've got to make a living, right there is a repetitious type of thinking And what I was getting spontaneously for you, without even knowing anything about this, is that you have been repeating this pattern over and over again. I will tell you, Jay, one of the best ways to break this is to talk with someone who has just as much a passion for the love of sports as you do, that's actively involved in it, and talking to them and say, how can I get involved with this? What kind of education do I need? You need to understand why, if you want to break this patterning, getting a job, you could get a job. I mean, you could get another warehouse job. But if you really want to make the changes in your life so that you're feeling fulfilled, you're feeling as if there is value in your working every day, not just bringing home a paycheck, then there needs to be a different approach on your part.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
So I would like for you, Houston is a big place. A lot of people love sports. That you're going to be able to get another job, yes, you'll be able to get another job, but I would like for you very, very much to really explore the industry of basketball. If football is your passion, whatever, if basketball is a number one of all the sports, if that's the one you just absolutely love, then start reading, go to your public library, get everything on the sport of basketball you possibly can. Find out about the various businesses that are involved with basketball.
Yes.
Does that help you?
Yes.
Well, you'll have to call me back and let me know how it turns out.
Okay.
All right, sir, but go out and look. Ask questions. Check on the industry itself.
So you said in the third and the fifth quarter of the year, my finances will get better?
Well, I think things are going to become a little bit better for you, but for your finances to really improve, you are going to be required to change your thinking about money and change your thinking about where you are going to put your energy and where you are going to put your education.
Okay.
That's very important for you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Jay. Thank you for calling in and have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 877-876-5227 is the telephone number to call. From Canada, you can reach me on 888-810-8322, and we also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Hey, I want you to get that pad of paper and pen handy because I have, and I know this is terribly decadent, but I don't care, chocolate meringue pie. Yes, good, good stuff. Would you ever guess that I'm a fan of chocolate? Never. Anyway, I have this recipe, so I'm going to be sharing that recipe with you in a little bit. But before I do that, I wanted to share something here. We hear so much about organic food. And I'm so grateful that the tide is turning and we're becoming more and more aware of how important it is to be understanding how pesticides and different chemicals can create a negative effect on the environment. And there's a big, big shift in many of the stores for organic food. About 75% of consumers are buying some kind of organic food regularly. And the big grocery chains are introducing their own product lines, such as Safeway and Albertsons. And they have frozen lasagna, peanut butter, ice cream, all kinds of food that is under the store's logo. And they say it is all going very, very quickly. People are really concerned about what they're putting in their bodies. Now, all organic food is costing more than standard varieties. But you know what? You're going to be able to shop around different stores. They're going to be launching and expanding their own lines. And according to Barbara Hellman of the Organic Trade Association, pay attention because the competition is going to be stiff among the stores for organic products. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. Don't you go away. When we come back, chocolate meringue pie. Yum. We'll be having that in just a bit.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
McDonald's Northwest Women's Show is a show that's all about you, your body, your spirit, your life. Hundreds of exhibits, 5 entertainment stages, and best of all, shopping. Hear Marianne Williamson, Oprah's expert on spiritual guidance, love, and miracles, and celebrity fitness guru and author Bob Green, March 23rd through 25th, 10 till 6 daily, at Quest Field Event Center. McDonald's Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing. Show information at nwwomenshow.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227 for the U.S. For Canada, 888-810-8322. Also, our other line is 530-876-3222. Okay, I promised you this scrumptious recipe for a chocolate meringue pie. And this will serve 6 people nicely. And trust me, I've got a photo of this in front of me, and oh, good stuff. This is the type of thing that when you serve it, it's just so unusually unique that people are going to say, wow, wow, and wow. Now, here are the ingredients you're going to need. You're going to need 8 ounces of dark chocolate graham crackers. And of course, you're going to need to crush them, but I'll tell you everything to do. So these are just the ingredients. 8 ounces of dark chocolate graham crackers, 4 tablespoons of butter. Now, this is for the graham cracker crust. So those are the 2 ingredients for the crust. Now, here's for the filling. And these ingredients need to be at room temperature. You need 3 egg yolks, 4 tablespoons of super fine sugar, 4 tablespoons of super fine sugar, 4 tablespoons of cornstarch, 4 tablespoons of cornstarch, 2.5 cups of milk, 3.5 ounces of dark chocolate, and this will need to be melted. 3.5 ounces of dark chocolate melted. Now that's for the filling. For the meringue, you're going to need 2 egg whites, 7 tablespoons of superfine sugar, 7 tablespoons of superfine sugar, and 1/4 teaspoon of vanilla extract. Now let's get busy. What you want to do is get a plastic bag, put your graham crackers in the plastic bag, and crush them with a rolling pin, and then pour them into a mixing bowl. You melt the butter and stir it into the graham cracker crumbs. Try to say that 5 times fast. Until they're well mixed, and then press the cookie mixture firmly into the base and up the sides of a 9-inch flan pan or quiche dish or cake pan, whatever you're going to use. Now, to make the filling, you want to beat the egg yolks, the superfine sugar, and the cornstarch in a large bowl until they form a smooth paste. And you might want to add a little of the milk if it is really, really thick. But if you don't need to, don't. Then you want to heat the milk until it's almost boiling. And then slowly pour it into your egg mixture, constantly beating it well. And you've got to be careful. Again, it has to be poured in slowly. Otherwise, the hot milk will curdle the eggs, and you don't want that. So anyway, you beat it well, and then you take the mixture and We turn it right back into that saucepan that the warm milk was in and cook it gently, beating constantly until it gets nice and thick. Then you remove it from the heat and you beat in your melted chocolate and then you pour it into your graham cracker crust, cracker base. Now, to make your meringue, you beat your egg whites in a large mixing bowl until they're standing in soft peaks, and then gradually beat in about two-thirds of the sugar until the mixture is real, real stiff and glossy. And then what you do is you fold in the remaining sugar and the vanilla extract. Then you take the meringue and spread it over the filling, and you want to be sure you cover the entire pie, and you want to cover it around the edges as well. And you swirl the surface with the back of a spoon, and it gives it a real pretty finish. And then you bake it in the center of a preheated oven at 375 degrees for about 30 minutes or until the meringue is golden. Oh, it is so pretty when it comes out of the oven, and it is so good for that special event. Or if you're just going to have guests over, sometimes it's nice just to get together with people and have some special treat. Well, that chocolate meringue pie, that'll do it nicely. Well, now that we've done the pie, I came across some information regarding an item often we have in the kitchen that we don't give too much attention to. I do because I've been involved in canning off and on, and one of the most useful tools in canning you can ever have is a funnel. And I can remember how I used to just slave over filling those glass jars with my preserves and fruits and various things that I would make to give away as gifts to friends. Well, funnels can be used for a lot of things. And these are some wonderful ideas. I don't know who put them together, but I thought I'd share them with you as we're closing out the show. If you're going to have a party and you really want to have a party surprise, you can funnel confetti into a balloon and then blow your balloon up and decorate it with ribbons, like a piñata. So if you had clear balloons, you could have all kinds of colors in them. It'd be so pretty. And then if you like to separate eggs, you know, I just did a recipe where the yolks and the whites need to be separated. You could use a funnel. And it's real easy to do. When you crack your egg into the funnel, the yolks stay in the funnel, and the whites slip right out through the extended area. It's great. And also, if you're a knitter, if you don't want your yarn to get tangled, or you want to have string on hand and you want to make sure that it doesn't get tangled, put a ball of string in the funnel and then thread one end through the extensions and you have a string dispenser. Real simple, real easy. And for kids during the summer, if you have young kids and they love the bubbles and love to blow bubbles, dip the wide end of a funnel in the bubble solution and blow through the extended small hole. What a fun thing. You can get these at the dollar store. The kids would have a blast. Very expensive way to entertain them. Also, if you want to have crispy kisses, yes, this is a fun thing. Mist your funnel with cooking spray and fill it with Rice Krispie Treat Mix. Remove and wrap in foil to make a huge Hershey's Kiss. Isn't that cool? That's so much fun. And if you wanted to make your own funnel, all you have to do is cut off the top of a 2-liter plastic soda bottle, and it's a perfect shape. There you go. Some tips I just knew you couldn't live without. And I just am always fascinated when people come up with such innovative ideas. So often we have these tools or things around us, and we don't think of them. We're not aware of the various ways that they can be utilized. And so I always appreciate people's ideas and concepts. And by the way, if you have ideas, concepts, recipes, suggestions, stories that you'd like to share with me, send them along. I'm always interested in hearing from you. Send them to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And also, just know that I get to them as quickly as I can. I know my schedule has been really wild and woolly this month, so bear with me. I haven't answered all of your emails, but I'll be getting to them as quickly as I can. I want you to remember always that you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It is so important for you to realize that there is a greatness inside of you that's just waiting to bust its buttons and strut its stuff. But it's going to be up to you to make that a possibility. Nobody can do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. So open up your mind, open up your heart, open up your spirit. because it is a rich life we have out here. And who knows, someone may be able to give you that magic word, that magic something that will inspire you to reach for the greatness within you. Go for it. Have a fabulous weekend. This is Donna Sebo. Jack Canfield is going to be my guest on Monday. God bless. I'll talk to you then. Tell your friends. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.